Welcome back to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. In just 3 years, the number of Michigan cities and school districts run by a state-appointed emergency manager has ballooned from 6 to 17. Just how effective is Michigan's emergency manager law, and how does it stack up to similar laws in other states? And how can communities avoid sliding back into financial trouble once the emergency manager's term is up? Bridge magazine writer Chastity Pratt-Dossey explores these questions in a report for the newest Bridge magazine. Chastity, welcome back to the show.
Hi, thank you.
And we welcome back Lou Schimmel. Lou has served as emergency financial manager or emergency manager for eCourse, Hamtramck, and Pontiac. Right now, he's on the transition advisory board for Pontiac. And good to have you back on the program, Lou.
It's always a pleasure.
Chastity, I want to start by having you address the fact that it appears from your piece there's very little middle ground when it comes to having an emergency manager. People seem to either be very relieved that the state is taking over, or they feel that EMs like Lou are kind of like Darth Vader.
Definitely so. It 9 times out of 10 results in a really visceral and emotional response from residents, because what we see as far as people who don't like it, they'll say, look, you're taking away the voting rights here because our elected officials no longer have power. This state guy has all the power. And that definitely gets people really riled up. And those who say it's a good idea, they're less emotional. You know, they're more a little quiet.
So the noise comes from the ones
comes from the people who don't like it.
Well, how much do you think this antagonism toward any emergency manager these days is based on the fact that Michigan voters said no to the EM law in that 2012 referendum, and then the legislature and the governor turned around a month later and said, well, basically, here's your new version, and by the way, we've made it referendum-proof.
Well, in those cities, let's just talk about Detroit. Let's just say it. Detroit has the emergency manager for the city and emergency manager for the school district, and they have really loud critics and emotional protesters. And in some of the smaller areas like Allen Park, they have, you know, smaller amounts of people who are against it. But definitely the fact that there was the law, Public Act 4, and people said, no, we don't want it by ballot referendum. And then a few weeks later, the legislature said, okay, you don't want Public Act 4, we'll give you a different emergency manager law. And this one is actually a little bit tougher. So all of that plays into the emotional response, people saying, I don't like it. At the same time, the legislature and the governor have said, well, this is what we need to do because we are having tough times and a lot of our communities are facing emergencies.
Well, I just want to say two things. You know, this democracy thing comes up a lot, and it's certainly a good thing to have come up, but I think there's two things we have to keep in mind here. Number one is the governor was certainly elected by the voters of Michigan. The legislature was elected by the voters of Michigan. The emergency manager law was passed by, you know, the voters by the legislature and the governor. And I think the state has a duty to see to it that its municipalities, which get their authority from the state of Michigan, act fiscally responsible. And I think the second thing about that whole democracy argument is, you know, what do we say about communities who have leaders who, you know, none of us like to talk about this, but we all know it's true. I mean, we have some leaders in some of these communities that have their hands in the cookie jar, and worse. And these communities, some of them refuse to change their ways of operating. They continue to fiscally operate in an irresponsible way. And as a result of that, the communities that don't want to change and they want to continue to act in that fashion, it ends up with the rest of us in the state of Michigan being pushed into the situation where we're being asked to subsidize mismanagement. I mean, that's just kind of the flip side of some of this. I mean, mm-hmm. I think there's some pretty good reasons why the Emergency Manager Act makes a lot of sense.
Well, very definitely. Again, we have communities that are facing really tough times and have made some poor decisions leading up into the emergency management. But what our story on Bridge talks about is, you know, look at a state like North Carolina. They have an intervention law, a receivership law. They can take over their local governments when they have problems. But you won't see emergency managers in North Carolina because they hover. They are there in the business, in the books of their local municipalities, trying to prevent these situations. situations. Here in Michigan, everyone talked about, well, Detroit, you know, they're making some poor decisions. They don't have the revenue that they need from taxes. And the state saw this disaster coming. And, you know, why can't we be like North Carolina? You know?
Why can't we be hovering a little bit more?
Can't we be more interactive beforehand? We need to consider what other states are doing to prevent the situations that we have going on here.
But Lou, having worked in Ecorse and Hamtramck and Pontiac, so you've been there in the city halls, do you think municipalities resent the hovering?
Well, certainly municipalities that don't want to change, as I said, certainly resent the hovering. And it's a mixed bag like your program started out. There's a real strong contingent in Pontiac. Of course, I grew up in Pontiac, mm-hmm. so I know a lot of the people there. There's a strong group that was just delighted that finally somebody came in and was going to clean up what they considered to be a mess. And then there's the other group that says, you know, we're here. We don't want you in here running our city. And, you know, there's strong feelings on both sides. The reason I like the new law, and I think Chastity made the point on another occasion, where I think we have the strongest law of, 23 states, Chastity?
Yes.
That was it? We have the strongest law. But my feeling on that is I was in Ecorse for 5 years. I was in Hamtramck for 5 years. And I was in Pontiac, which was a much more severe situation, for less than 2 years. So I argue if you're going to have an act, you might as well have one that's strong enough where an emergency manager can get in, do his job, and get out. So, I like the fact that we have the strongest act. I think if you're going to have one, you might as well have one that works.
The question remains, okay, here in Michigan, we love home rule. We love our local control. And yes, the local governments are a creature of the state. But as such, does the state have some prevention responsibilities here? You know, people want local control. But if you're a creature of the state, doesn't the state have some responsibility to help you along the way instead of, you
letting
know, ground you,
slide off the cliff
after you slide off the cliff?
I agree. A good point. And I do believe, and maybe, Tessie, you know more than I do about this. I always get there at the end, never at the beginning. But I believe Act 436 does build in a lot of new things that weren't in the previous acts about prevention and doing some work ahead of time before to prevent these kinds of situations. I do know that the state treasury, because I work with them a lot, has been doing a lot of work regarding municipalities that are in trouble prior to an emergency manager or the whole process starting. And also, the state is doing, of course, as a result of Act 436, a lot afterwards as well that never was done before, because I walked out of Ecorse and I walked out of Hamtramck, and that was it. Nothing mm-hmm. else happened.
And they slid back into deficit, yes.
Now, this transition board, I believe, is working very well in Pontiac and in other communities. There's only been one or two others, but I think it's a good process that'll keep in place the many changes that were made during the emergency manager time.
Lou, give us a sense of what is the transition advisory board's role? How much power do you have, because you're doing that now in Pontiac?
We have no power to run the city as the transition board. We do have the power to review everything that's done by the mayor and council.
And reject some of it, right?
Yeah.
So that's power.
We oversee it. So if the mayor and council does something, we don't then pass something on our own. We simply say, what you did is unacceptable, because it'll throw the budget that's in place out of balance, or it's not a balanced budget. Go back, look at it again, and come back with something that is acceptable. There's definitely that's the whole idea.
Oversight
to make sure that it doesn't fall back.
The question that remains, and Lou, you and I talked a bit about it with when we talked about this story, is, okay, where is the transition as far as helping the local officials and government participate in the transition? really what it comes down to is, if you're going to take over a place, if you're going to get the budget back into the black, once you hand over the reins to the people who are going to take it forward, how do we know that they are prepared, trained,
evolved,
competent, know how this fix was done so that they can sustain it? Sustainability is really the question here.
Because you don't want to see what happened in Ecorse and Hamtramck.
And when we know that more and more cities are facing hard times, and we will likely see this law put into effect, how do we guarantee, or as much as we can, make sure there's some sustainability and involve people in it so the political gameplay is minimized?
The way we do that is the way we did it, which I feel we did in Pontiac, is I had a chief assistant who basically was a city manager that was with me all during the emergency manager process. I left him there. When I left, and he was having meetings on a weekly basis, and depending on what the subject was, or a monthly basis, with the mayor and council people as training sessions and education sessions regarding budget matters and so on. So he is still there now. The mayor in Pontiac now would like to have her own person there. The process for hiring that person is in place, but the emergency manager assistant guy who is there now will stay there and continue to do his education process until he feels it's time that, you know, they're adequately educated and can do the job on their own. So we didn't just walk out. We left everybody in place, and it's a gradual change. As people leave, the mayor can bring in her own people. It isn't just sort of a sudden, all of a sudden we go from this to that, which was the case in Ecorse and Hamtramck when I left.
Now, we started our conversation, Chester, you brought up Detroit, and I'd like you to give us your ideas as far as, what do you see in Detroit now with Kevin Orr, with Mayor Mike Duggan, that gives you clues as to how things will go once Kevin Orr's term is up this fall? Lou, let me have you start with that.
I think, Mike Duggan is there. Mike Duggan has said he, you know, really wants everybody gone. He wants to be able to run the city himself. I'm wondering if he really is, I'm not saying he's not telling the truth, but I think Mike Duggan has no chance at all until Kevin Orr finishes his job, because much of what has to be done in the bankruptcy court, and I think you need to get all of that stuff behind you before Mike Duggan has a chance to run the city. But, of course, Detroit's a much different example because it's so big and there's so many people involved besides just the emergency manager himself.
And now there's
he has brought in his own team, and he thinks that he can run it going forward. And we all wish him the very best, and I certainly hope he succeeds.
Just to dovetail off what you were saying, Lou, it is a really unique entity because there's this new Michigan Review, commission mm-hmm. that they created just for Detroit. So whereas a city like Pontiac will have a TAB board, a transition advisory board, there's a law that shows, and it's part of the grand bargain.
Yes, it's good.
Detroit, you're not going to get a TAB. You're going to get something a little different with a 13-year limit on it and all these other bells
and
whistles.
Much the way that New York City had.
Control board.
Yes, yeah. Control board. And I mean, the state has a lot of skin in the game.
The state has a lot of skin in the game, and it's a huge amount of money.
What do you think, based on what you've seen, Chastity, as you've dug into the law, how it's working in Michigan, how it compares elsewhere? What do you see for Detroit after Kevin Orr leaves?
There's going to be this review commission, and the real big question is, how is this review board, this control board for all intents and purposes, going to play out? Is it going to be another layer of bureaucracy? Is it going to be more political gameplay now between the state and the city as to how the city should run? Those questions are, you know, we haven't seen the commission appointed yet, but those are the questions that we're putting forth beforehand to sort of, you know, keep everybody's eye on the ball. We need cooperation, and we need sustainability moving forward. So really, how do we get there? And also, there's this lawsuit that the NAACP has filed. You know, we're assuming that the Public Act 436 is going to stick and stay, and that, you know, this is going to proceed how it's been laid out. At any rate, again, the questions that I think everyone needs to keep in mind that we laid out is, how do we sustain this? How do we minimize the gameplay? This is a lot of money, a lot of people's lives.
Chastity Pratt Dossey, her story on Michigan's EM Law, is out in today's edition of Bridge Magazine at bridgemi.com. Chastity, thank you so much. And
thanks.
Lou Schimmel, former EM and emergency financial manager for eCourse, Hamtramck, and Pontiac, and now on Pontiac's Transition Advisory Board. As always, Lou, thank you so much for speaking with us.
I enjoyed it very much. Thanks.